This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com.
And it has also been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from In Other Words Women's Books and Resources, serving you from its new location at 8 Northeast Killingsworth at Williams. In Other Words is your local nonprofit feminist bookstore and resource center offering community space, gifts, tools for the revolution, women's writings, and much more. 503-232-6003 or inotherwords.org. You're tuned to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. It's a minute after 11 o'clock. Don't forget that on Monday, May Day, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of immigrants are expected to stage a work strike and take part in a one-day economic boycott to protest anti-immigrant legislation being considered by Congress. KABU and other community radio stations around the country will present a day of programs on human rights and immigrants. That's from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday. And a program note regarding Democracy Now! For Monday, May 1st, it will be aired at 9 a.m. until 10 a.m. rather than usual time at 11. Now, here's today's edition of Democracy Now!
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
The evidence is starting to make it look like we are at peak oil now, that we are facing decline in global oil supplies. It's very hard to be absolutely sure. It usually takes a few years before you can say 100%, but that's the way the evidence is looking.
Peak oil fears are based on simplistic mathematical models. The reality is the world has only used about 10% of its oil resource.
Production reach maximum capacity.
We'll host a debate on peak oil. Then a series of protests are scheduled across the country over the next 3 days, from the war in Iraq to genocide in Darfur to anti-immigrant legislation. We'll look at why people are taking to the streets. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Human Rights Watch is warning a new Sudanese military offensive is increasing the risks to civilians in Darfur. The group says government forces have stepped up indiscriminate bombings of villages, displacing thousands of people. Meanwhile, the Sudanese government has rejected a U.S.-backed proposal to send more than 15,000 U.N. and NATO peacekeepers to Darfur. In Washington Thursday, Illinois Senator Barack Obama urged international intervention.
There have been times where the international community has been surprised about what is taking place and can excuse itself for inaction by saying we didn't know. This is not one of those circumstances. This is being filmed. It's being documented. People have written about it. It is a slow rolling genocide. And the notion that we are going to stand by in the face of this is unacceptable. And I think it's unacceptable to the American people, and my hope is it's unacceptable to the international community.
Illinois Senator Barack Obama will have more on Darfur later in the program. In Washington, speculation's increasing. White House aide Karl Rove will be the next person charged in the CIA leak case. On Wednesday, Rove spent more than 3 hours appearing before the grand jury investigating the outing of CIA operative Valerie Plame. It was Rove's fifth grand jury appearance. MSNBC's reporting, Rove was questioned about his previous failure to disclose he'd spoken about Plame to a reporter for Time magazine. Several analysts said the questioning suggests the grand jury is preparing an indictment on perjury charges. Lawyers in the case expect a decision within the next few weeks. In other news, the CIA is warning former employees not to engage in unapproved conversations with the media. According to the Financial Times, one former official said several retired employees have been threatened with the loss of their pensions. Another former official said CIA head Pertegas has increased polygraph testing on current employees. The official said Goss is trying to, quote, scare everybody. A new congressional report says the cost of the war in Iraq will soon top $320 billion, a figure that will likely more than double by war's end. According to the Congressional Research Service, the ongoing operations in Iraq and Afghanistan stand to cost nearly as much as the Departments of Education, Justice, and Homeland Security combined. As gas prices continue to soar, the world's largest oil company has once again announced record-breaking profits. On Thursday, ExxonMobil reported a quarterly profit of $8.4 billion, the fifth highest quarterly total for any public company in history. In January, Exxon posted profits of close almost $11 billion, which stands as the highest quarterly profit of any company ever. In other news, a coalition of elderly advocacy groups have filed a lawsuit accusing the Bush administration of failing to ensure low-income Americans are properly enrolled in the new Medicare prescription drug benefit. The suit says the Bush administration's alleged negligence has prevented thousands of Medicare recipients from receiving proper care. On Capitol Hill Thursday, Republican Senator Arlen Specter said the Bush administration's continuing to stonewall congressional inquiries into its warrantless domestic spy program. Specter said he's considering a proposal to cut off funding for the National Security Agency until the Bush administration answers questions over the program's legal justification. Specter said, quote, institutionally, the presidency is walking all over Congress. Here in New York, 57 people were arrested Thursday at a protest in support of New York University's Graduate Students Union. Members of the Graduate Student Organizing Committee have been on strike since November over the school's refusal to negotiate a second contract. In other news, 10 states have filed lawsuits with the Environmental Protection Agency over its decision not to regulate carbon dioxide pollution as a contributor to global warming. The states, led by New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer, are asking the government to impose tougher pollution standards on new power plants. In Mexico, lawmakers have passed a declaration of support for Monday's walkout for immigrants' rights in the United States. Mexico's Congress will send a delegation to Los Angeles to take part in the protest. A new report from two watchdog groups says 18 of this country's wealthiest families have been behind a multi-million dollar lobbying campaign to repeal the federal estate tax. According to Public Citizen and United for a Fair Economy, the families have directly funded campaigns and set up shadow associations to spread misleading information on the benefits of repealing the tax. The groups say a repeal of the estate tax would save the families over $71 billion. The families include those behind the companies Walmart, Campbell's Soup, and Mars Incorporated. Joan Claybrook of Public Citizen called the campaign one of the biggest con jobs in recent history. In other news, the lone survivor of the Sago mine tragedy has provided new details of his colleague's last hours. In a letter to the 12 miners' families, Randall McCloy Jr. said at least four of the air packs did not work, forcing them to share the devices among themselves. McCloy wrote, quote, "As my trapped co-workers lost consciousness one by one, the room grew still and I continued to sit and wait, unable to do much else." And 4 days after he led a march of thousands of supporters to begin a 10-day jail sentence, transit workers union leader Roger Toussaint will be released today, 4 days early. Toussaint was jailed Monday for authorizing last year's strike that shut down New York City's transit system. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As the price of oil soars to record highs and oil companies report record profits, today we look at some reasons why this may be occurring. Last Friday, oil prices rose to over $75 a barrel, with consumers paying an average of $2.91 a gallon, 68 cents higher than a year ago. Yesterday, ExxonMobil, the world's largest oil company, reported the fifth highest quarterly profit for any public company in history. It's actually competing with itself. In January, Exxon posted profits of almost $11 billion, which was the highest quarterly profits of any company ever. Exxon now holds the first, second, fourth, and fifth spots of highest quarterly earnings of any company. And Dutch Shell, another oil company, holds the third spot. With the mid-elections looming in November, Congress and President Bush are scrambling over what to do about the public's increasing concern over the rising oil prices and corporate profits. Yesterday, the president and some Republicans called for eliminating the $2 billion in tax breaks that Congress passed as part of the energy bill last August. Some Democrats have called for a repeal of oil and gas tax breaks worth more than $10 billion over the next 5 years. Earlier this week, Bush stated some of his ideas to address the problem. This is the president speaking to the trade group for ethanol producers on Tuesday in Washington, D.C.
We got to be wise about energy policy here in America. We got to make sure that we protect the environment. We also got to make sure that we find additional supplies of crude oil in order to take the pressure off the price of crude, which takes the pressure off the price of gasoline at the pump. Now, all I've outlined here today are interim strategies, short-term and interim strategy. The truth of the matter is the long-term strategy is to power our automobiles with something other than oil. We owe it to the American people to be aggressive on price gouging now. We owe it to the American people to be promoting alternative ways to drive their cars so as to make us less dependent on foreign sources of oil. We owe it to the American people to be aggressive in the use of technology, so we can diversify away from the hydrocarbon society, and that's precisely what we're doing, and I'm glad to stand with you.
Well, this week, a conference is being held in New York City examining an issue that's getting increasing attention. The Peak Oil Conference, sponsored by Local Energy Solutions and the Five Borough Institute, is bringing together experts in energy, agriculture, economics, and geology to address what they say is partly the cause of high oil prices. Peak oil occurs when half of all existing oil has been pulled from the ground. Therefore, oil becomes more expensive and the economy goes into recession. Some experts believe we're at peak now, while others disagree. We go now to a debate on the issue. We're joined in our Firehouse studio by Julian Darley, founder and director of the Post-Carbon Institute and Global Public Media. He's also author of High Noon for Natural Gas, The New Energy Crisis, co-author of the forthcoming book Relocalize Now, Getting Ready for Climate Change and the End of Cheap Oil. On the phone from Amherst, Massachusetts, we are joined by Michael Lynch, president of the Strategic Energy and Economic Research. Previously, Michael was director of Asian Energy and Security at the Center for International Studies at MIT. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Julian Darley, let us begin with you. Can you explain the concept of peak oil?